Professor Shoup, good afternoon to you, and as always, thank you for being with us.
Good afternoon, Simon. Thank you for having me.
Did you have a good Seder and all?
Yeah, it was a different one, as you earlier said. It was a challenging one, but very, very different in my lifetime. It's the first time I've ever had anything like that. It was just the two of us, my wife and myself. But it was reasonably good, but certainly very, very different. I'm looking forward to having the bigger ones back again.
Totally, totally.
I think everybody
totally
is.
Understand I think that. Everybody totally is, yeah. Do. Yeah. So, Prof, let's talk about this awful virus. You're going to talk to us today about the effect of COVID-19 on patients with flu.
Yeah, I thought I'd bring up the issue about the flu vaccination specifically. I'm getting quite a lot of questions about it. And I think it's really time that we did talk about it because time is running out. You know, we're edging close to the middle of April. And this certainly is the time that people should have had their flu vaccine by now. I'm also a little bit worried that that we don't have the flu vaccine shortages that we had a few years back. And especially, I think now in the coronavirus era, I think there are a number of reasons why it is quite important that people do get immunized against influenza. I think the one reason is the obvious one. I think every year before winter, people should be immunized against influenza. We've got a reasonably good vaccine, and certainly there are certain people who I think it's very important that they do get vaccinated because they are subject to the complications of flu. That's the one thing. So every year, I think, is a year that we recommend flu vaccination. But I think now, especially with the coronavirus here, there are two other reasons. Yeah. The one is that, of course, getting both of them together would give a worse disease. You know, it'll be a kind of summation of both of them put together. So that's the one thing. The other thing is that quite an important one is that there's quite an overlap of symptoms, the symptoms of flu and the symptoms of coronavirus. And that makes it very, very difficult. Now, people do get these symptoms and they think, well, have they got coronavirus, whereas it may well just simply be the flu. It makes it kind of diagnosis much more difficult. So at least if we can prevent the flu, then at least it kind of simplifies it, makes it, it kind of streamlines the process of handling the coronavirus. So I think those are three reasons why people should get flu, the flu vaccine. And those who haven't got it, I think should try and as soon as possible go and get vaccinated.
Prof, what about colleagues of mine who, and I don't want to come across as a medical skeptic because I'm not, but I have spoken to people who've said to me that they have never been sicker than when they took the flu vaccination. Is there anything to that or is that just, I don't know.
No, I think there is something to that. Certainly some people seem to react much more to the flu vaccine than others. Why that is, we don't know. And unfortunately, it seems to be the older people who do react more adversely, you know, have more side effects from the flu vaccine. It may be a reaction to some of the constituents in the vaccine, which some people are more sensitive to than others. I know now in our family, I didn't even feel anything at all, and I never do. But the important thing is this, that what the flu vaccine does is that for those people that are at risk of the complications, it prevents much more severe complications. In some cases, even life-threatening complications. So we try and kind of encourage people who have, and it's a very frequent complaint. You try, and especially if they are at risk, to at least bear with those. It may be, you know, the kind of side effects are usually a bit of a headache, a low-grade temperature, certainly tenderness in the arm, maybe just a bit of swelling under the arm of the lymph glands. You know, to maybe treat that with aspirin or Panado, and you know, try and get through it because certainly people at risk should be vaccinated. But this is a common complaint. I've often heard it.
It's interesting because you mentioned a whole bunch of side effects, you know, headaches and stuff like that. But some of these people were saying they actually got flu in a far more aggressive form. And it's just, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what's true and what isn't.
I think one should kind of prioritize who should get the vaccine. And in fact, the hierarchy, the kind of who's most important who should get the infections has changed somewhat in the coronavirus era. In fact, the Department of Health has made the main priority are healthcare workers for obvious reasons. First of all, that they at risk of picking up flu from patients or transmitting flu to patients. But obviously, importantly, we don't want healthcare workers to be all sick, particularly down the coronavirus area. If the coronavirus epidemic does develop, we need all the healthcare workers that we got. So I think that's, so they are number one priority. Then, of course, the elderly. They've always been the top priority.
Sure.
Now, who is the elderly? We normally say over 65s, it really is mandatory that they should be immunized. And then, of course, also people with underlying medical conditions, which make them more vulnerable to the complications, especially now with corona, those people who have got lung problems, you know, respiratory problems or cardiac problems, people that are obese, because that's again a risk factor for coronavirus, people who are diabetic. So we don't want to have the influenza complicating the coronavirus in those particular patients.
Prof, we have to take news headlines because it's 4:30. Could I ask you to stay with us? We're going to take news headlines and a song just because we've been talking quite a bit today. And
yeah, sure.
Would you hang on and then we'll re-engage in this conversation and I can throw out maybe one or two other queries that I may have.
And with pleasure.
Professor Shubu is Professor Emeritus of Virology at Wits University. Prof, are you still with us?
I am indeed, yes.
Fantastic, and I can hear you clearly, which is always a great thing. Prof, so we were talking about whether one should or shouldn't have a flu vaccination for the current strain of flu. You were indicating that it made a whole lot of sense given the current circumstances. Can we just talk about availability? Do you have any idea whether it is available?
Yeah, it is certainly available at the moment. How long it will be available obviously will depend on what kind of run there is on the vaccine. But my sources tell me that there is vaccine is available at the moment. And I think this is why I kind of thought it's very fortunate that we do talk about it now, because it might not always be available. We did have a shortage of vaccine a few years back, you may recall. And then, you know, people scrambled around for the last few shots of the vaccine. You know, it's always a problem for the vaccine importers because they, in a way, they never know how much to actually import. And they don't want to be obviously stuck with a lot of stock afterwards. So
yeah, of course.
This is why we always, you know, say to people, try and go fairly early, not too early because you want to go close to the flu season, but certainly not too late. So they, you know, you're not caught short.
You raise an interesting point, which I actually hadn't thought of for one second, which is the business of medicine, you know, the fact that, is it profitable to import the vaccination? And if so, how much? Just an angle that I hadn't really entertained or thought about. But Prof, because we have a little bit of time today, because there's no sport with Louis this afternoon, thought maybe, we can talk COVID 101 for dummies, which is basically me, because there's been a lot of interesting press in the last couple of days. Something that jumped off the page at me quite strongly was the fact that people are talking about reinfections. Address that issue.
Yeah, you know, there have been one or two anecdotal reports of people being reinfected. Now, the issue of immunity, how long immunity loss after being, after having been infected. And of course, being infected means one may be infected without any symptoms at all. What you call asymptomatic infection. It's obviously a very important one. But the only problem is it's still too early to be kind of have any definitive information. Those anecdotal reports of people being reinfected. There was one case in Germany, I know. There was one case I think it came from China as well.
Okay, so it's single figures, low stuff.
It's just single figures, you know, one or two cases. There's always a doubt, you know, was there a problem with the actual testing? Because these are people that had the disease, tested positive, then became negative, and then after a while again became positive with symptoms. So it's one or two people, and you can't really put too much store by that. There is one positive thing which I can maybe throw out, but I must caution, certainly not evidence. And that there has been a few investigations done on the original SARS, which took place in 2003, where they looked at patients some years afterwards. I think in one case it was 5 or 7 or 8 years afterwards. And they found that there was in fact immunity, which they could demonstrate in the laboratory, obviously not with challenging them, but they demonstrated in the laboratory that they were neutralizing antibodies, which are, in other words, antibodies which show that the person is immune. These are just small numbers. So the bottom line, after I'm saying a lot of things, the bottom line is at this stage we don't really know how durable that immunity is. I think in principle we can assume that there will be some immunity, certainly for months afterwards, hopefully longer than that.
So, Prof, the other issue I'm not quite understanding is the talk of how this will become just another strain of flu, as other strains of flu are. It will become part of the human population. What I'm not understanding is, if that is the case and we go forward a year and it is just another strain, I mean, why are the results not going to be as catastrophic next year? Or has that got something to do with the herd immunity?
Yeah, I think it has exactly to do with the herd immunity. You must remember, this is a brand new virus. The human population's never seen this virus. Unlike influenza. Influenza is an ancient virus. Although it does, of course, change from year to year, but those are more subtle changes. This virus is brand new. We've never seen it before. And that's why it's spreading so rapidly. And that's why it's having the catastrophic effects which it is having, which flu doesn't have. But once it's established in the human population, the tendency of viruses is to become more infectious but less virulent. In other words, producing less severe disease. That's the kind of natural evolution of viruses. And the assumption is that with this coronavirus, this year, 2020, was the first year. That's going to be the one with severe effects. Next year, it's probably going to be more contagious and maybe less virulent, producing less severe disease. That's our understanding how it will develop. So next year, of course, there will be a population, will be a large number of individuals who will have seen the virus. Some of them symptomatic with symptoms, some of them without symptoms. And that community immunity will then dampen down the epidemic, to a large extent. Of course, hopefully there'll be a vaccine by then. And a vaccine, of course, if it's an effective vaccine and is given to a large enough number of people, that should certainly have a very profound effect on the virus. There is one other factor we need to look at, and that the virus, like many other viruses of this kind of, it's called an RNA virus. Those viruses tend to be what we call unstable genetically, so they do change. Not as changeable as influenza, but there will be some subtle changes which may render the vaccine a little bit less effective from year to year, like we get with influenza. Hopefully that won't happen. It doesn't happen with vaccines like measles and rubella and mumps and all those vaccines, which are also RNA, which are stable viruses. Hopefully corona will be more like that than influenza. And if it is, then the vaccine will certainly have a profound effect on the epidemiology. So next year will certainly won't be anything as serious as this year.
Serious. That is what I was hoping you were going to say, Prof. That's where we leave it today. Thank you for the good news at the end
Sure.
And I think we catch up with you next Monday only.
Yes, indeed. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Prof.